present with the chairman today is Senator Halford, member of the committee. Again, we have the conflict in that resources of the Senate meets at the same time as we do, and Senator Paul Fisher is in the Resources Committee meeting. Senator Victor Fisher is there, but he's coming back shortly to constitute a quorum for the purposes of the HES committee. This afternoon's meeting is called to consider Senate Bill 18, sponsored and authored by President Curtula, co-sponsored by Senator Sturgiluski, Josephson, Ray, Victor Fisher, Fakes, Kelly, Ferguson, Pettyjohn, and Halford, making appropriations to the University of Alaska for construction of classroom facilities, and Senate Bill 19 by the same senators, making appropriations for dormitory complexes. I'll begin the hearing by asking the author of these two bills, Senator Curtula, to address the committee and make any statement that you think appropriate, Senator.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The overwhelmingly important need is shown already up with 2 years ago for the facilities suggested, not necessarily the amounts for them, but last year's bond issue, as you know from testimony the other day at your brown bag meeting, had most facilities suggested here at varying amounts for them. In any event, I do have some proposed amendments, which I'll touch base on. I don't speak to the possibility of revenue bonding for the for some portions of the dormitory facilities, but that will apparently be considered later in by your committee as an alternative to some of the direct appropriations. But as I understand it, and this goes back to last year's bond issues, there will be several changes proposed from the original legislation in these two bills, and I'm speaking to both of them together. University of Alaska Anchorage facility needs approximately $25 million, which I spoke to the other day. The $20 million set aside for the dormitories at Anchorage essentially needs to be at $9.9 million for land acquisition and approximately $11 million for student facility construction. There are varying figures for that for this year, but that's part amount I understand recommended by Chancellor Alcalt. I wish to, because there is ample backup and ample opportunity and a great deal of pressure already from both of the chancellors of the Fairbanks campus and the Anchorage campus, and because there is strong support legislatively for these facilities, I wish to concentrate my remarks, however, on one small part of this, and that is the $15 million item, Section 3 on Senate Bill 18, for construction of community college facilities statewide. There are a number of community college facilities that this will include, and those will be placed in there at the wisdom of your committee. I do know that Kuskokwim, from having been out there with Senator Sackett, has an interest, particularly dormitory facilities. It looks like it needs additional classroom facilities, and I would only speak to those at this time, as it just appears that they could use considerable upgrading. As you know, the following is true. In the bush, a few years ago, we didn't have community college needs and very little college needs because there were no high schools. Now that we've a four-year high school in many bush communities, we're beginning to have pressure on the next facility, which is the community college facility. And it's coming very rapidly out there. And they do provide an excellent halfway house for rural people. And I can speak firsthand of that. The University of Alaska Fairbanks was my halfway house before I went out to another institution. And it was a good thing I went one place before I went to the other. And I think that is true of your community colleges in the bush. They're a good halfway house on the way to the Fairbanks main institution. So there are needs out there. There are needs at Prince William Sound. There's needs at Kenai. And their senators can speak to those. The one that I've been working for several years, in which Mr. Oakeson is here to testify on today, and which I hope that you will spend some time listening to him on the subject, is one that has been cleared with the president of the university and with the University of Alaska Fairbanks chancellor, or president, whichever he is called. The titles begin to skip me. But anyway, O'Rourke and Barton are both well aware of the item, which is a subdivision of the $15 million, which I wish to speak to today and have not covered previously when I had an opportunity with your committee. The problem is that if we're going to have an agriculture development in this state, the science and the money are the major factors. And we have an experimental farm, and we have a plant materials laboratory. There are already excellent classroom facilities to develop the first 2 years of practicum along with the instruction. They're located in the Mount Disco Valley next to the Mount Disco Community College. Fairbanks recognizes that that community college facility there, which would also tie into the development of Point McKenzie and other areas of the state, as practical, knowledgeable people, if they had a two-year vocational instruction, two-year AA. They ought also tie into the four-year instruction in the natural sciences up on the campus and eventually into agriculture, forestry, and so on, which is coming very fast up there. So they're proposing, we're proposing, to build essentially a very simple science facility primarily for vocational agriculture and other sciences at the University of Alaska, next door to the experimental farm, where the University of Alaska Community College is now located. Not the University of Alaska, but I mean Natsuk Community College, where it is now located. And it ties into the other facilities to develop the necessary background and backups for the students to take to the farm for practical use. It's $3.8 million, although we've cut it to $3 million. We really need the $3.8, and I would like Al Olson to be able to testify at this time on that particular long-term plan for many, many years project. And again, as I say, the other facilities and their needs and their pre-planning are before you without added effort by myself at this time. I'm going to testify as to the need and the background. But I'd certainly like Mr. Oakeson to be able to speak this portion while he's here.
Senator, before then, let me see, we've been talking both about 18 and 19. And
yes.
19, the $20 million figure, which would encompass an $11 million building and a $9.9 million payment to Alaska Pacific University, is more properly $20.9 million.
That is true. 9.9 plus.
Okay, and then would it be your desire or recommendation that...
Probably 21.9.
21.9.
Although there is an argument going on campus in the institutions whether you can use over 5.5 right now, even though you have the land, but O'Kalt feels you can use the 11 million.
On the $15 million item in Senate Bill 18, would it be your...
That's the one I'm speaking.
Yeah, would it be your recommendation or desire that the committee indicate the intent of where those improvements would
yes.
be?
Yes, yes. I just gave it a statewide connotation from experiences I had in the pre-conference committee of the university last year on bond.
And I suppose we'll be hearing from the university witnesses as to their views, but you would feel that at least $3 million of the $15 million should go to the Matsu community?
Yes, that is my intention.
Okay.
And that is my interest.
And before we listen to Mr. Oakeson on that point and then from other witnesses, including Representative Vasca, who is here, are there any questions of Senator Petula from the committee?
I do want to say we're 2 years behind now, as you know. Any projection, and certainly 1 year behind as a result of the veto bonding.
Hearing no questions, thank you for coming in, Senator.
Thank you very, very much. Those figures we'll have to you. I have them in rough form.
Without objection, I'll ask Mr. Oakeson if he would like to speak to the item just mentioned by Senator Petula.
I'll sit here, too. There's plenty of room for my municipal chairs.
you the director or chancellor of the community college?
Campus president.
Campus president. That's Palmer.
Right.
Please proceed.
My name is Al Okeson, and I am the campus president at MAPSU. And I'm down here to give support or testimony for the agricultural building for MAPSU Community College. We are developing an agricultural program at the college, and we have been very pleased with its with the beginning interest. We started this about a year ago of offering some courses, and along with the spring enrollments, with the spring we have approximately at this time 160 enrollments that are taking courses in agriculture. Of that 160, there are about 100 different individuals. So some, I mean that some are taking two or three courses, but there are 100 different individuals with 160 enrollments. This compares to about 70 last spring. So you can see that gives it somewhat of a pretty good percentage of increase. And if, we are working on a two-year degree program, which we anticipate will be approved in April by the Board of Regents. I will take it to the various campus presidents in the state this Thursday and Friday to be reviewed, and with their comments, and to the subcommittee of the board in March, and then onto the board in April. This will be a two-year associate degree, applied science, in agriculture. In addition to these degree courses that we offer also a number of non-credit or symposiums that are of practical nature to the area, people interested in agriculture, the farmer, the small person with the small acreage. Last fall, we usually try to pick a theme. Last fall, we had horses, for example, 154 different individuals attended those. This spring, it will be vegetables from growing to storage, and they start in March. These are short-term, one or two night types of symposiums and cover a variety of areas. The agricultural degree that we are working on, back to that a little bit, will be the only one in the state. As you know, probably know that the this will be combined with the one in rural education, and we will be handling that one, so we'll be the only two-year degree agricultural program. Presently, we really don't have any facilities that are designed for agriculture per se. Classes now are held in some of the science labs, which really, we really need a soil science lab, we need sort of an animal lab, we need a small mechanic shop for farm welding, things of this nature that are applicable to the farm. We've done a little bit of schematics and haven't proposed the work would be to our existing building, the type of square footage we are looking at, and some approximate costs that would be connected with it. If this was approved through legislation, why, we would probably be able then to occupy the facility, hopefully, if everything went in about August of 1985. And by that time, we should have, our degree would be approved. We should be looking at some graduates in the program. I'm glad to answer any questions if you could. Sort of.
This is coming to the Regents then?
Yes, it'll be coming in April for the final approval for the degree.
Questions of Mr. Oakson?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You said that it couldn't be occupied until August of 1985.
That's what
we're funded this year.
That's what I've been like. Time you would get the actual, you know, bond bidding, natural construction, all the site work, and this type of thing. That would be a projection. That would be approximately August of 85. Looking at it, the funding was approved. Time got done, say, July 83, and then into the program, the total program, doing some work. Work on that of October, probably get the schematics sometime in December, and construction documents in March, probably advertise for bids in about March of 84. That's things could move, you know, depending on either slower or a little bit more rapidly.
Senator Rick Fisher?
Mr. Chairman, could you tell me, has this been presented to the Board of Regents? I'm looking at their statewide priorities to the tune of about $160 million, and I'm trying to find it here. Maybe it's there. But
no, I don't, as I recall, it is not in that.
It's a legislatively proposed thing over the last 2 years, correct? The Board of Regents essentially have skipped responsibility for a lot of the community college effort for years and some of the other institutions. And we've literally had to, at this level, make the suggestions to them and then get their subsequent concurrence, because they do recognize need once you bring it to their attention. But this is the way I've had to go for every single building, for Seward, one of the Kenai buildings, Matsu, and undoubtedly before we're through for Prince William Sound. Same way.
Can we use this methodology for Anchorage?
We have to use it for Anchorage. That's the way we got facilities for Anchorage, and the bond issue was just canceled.
Well, the board, Mr. Chair, yes, if I might just add, the Board of Regents has not put in money for, the Board of Regents put in, but the governor hasn't put in money for Anchorage classroom building, so essentially the legislature is 1-0. But, Mr. Chairman, I apologize for being late. What, aside from the Matsu facility is proposed as part of this 15-minute? Is there a schedule here somewhere?
No,
there's no schedule. As I understand the Senator Petula's testimony, he alluded to a need at the Kuskokwim Community College, and I believe
Kuskokwim, Kenai, and Prince William Sound, the ones I alluded to. The Board of Regents has some other suggestions also. It has Sitka, or at least the university has Sitka, and it has two others. So there's more than $15 million worth of need out there recognized. But I proposed the legislation based on testimony of the previous year rather than what's been brought up to date recently by the Board of Regents, to the extent there has been.
Where would the facilities for Anchorage come from?
The Anchorage facility, of course, was again testified to last year, and it is the major classroom facility. And the purchase, we put $1 million in at my instigation, put $1 million into the land purchase, which we now have to follow up with another balance of 9.9. When you get the 9.9 paid, then you have the almost 40 acres of land in which you will locate the dormitory facilities, among others.
No, I was thinking in terms, I was speaking to the
community college
classroom administration building for ACC.
Well, the ACC classroom administration is $10+ million, and you would have to add something to the $15 million if you added that $10 million Anchorage facility. Last year, there were two or three Anchorage facilities proposed, varying figures, but the combination was probably $24 or $25 million for community college. I did not propose any Anchorage facilities, in fact, any specifically in here, but I figured it would be flushed out within some range. If we're going to put $80-70 million into the urban areas, then there's a justification of some percentage of that going to the rural areas, and that's the reason I put in the $15 million, knowing approximately the needs of four areas: Kenai, Prince William Sound, Kuskokwim, Matsu. I did not propose anything for Anchorage. The power structure comes into play here again, because you have not only a strong campus like Fairbanks, but you have then the Board of Regents and the establishment of those campuses pushing for their needs.
Thank you. Senator Hopper?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In these packets that we've got, Sitka, Fairbanks, Panama, Anchorage, in the right-hand corner, it's got a number of districts in one.
Wendy?
May I say what it is you have?
Yeah. I see the form, the university form is election district served.
Yes, it could very well be that those had to do with the prior administration and the transition to the management of the election. I think of,
you don't know.
Since none of them are disapproved, are approved in the current governor's budget.
None is approved in the current, in the current governor's budget.
Not of those can be found.
Have they been disapproved in the current governor's budget?
What about the one for UAA classroom, Anchorage classroom? That shows approved.
That's, yes, the UAA Community College project.
University of West Anchorage, not Community College. That's the only one, that shows approved is the one that's at 25-3.
That was approved by Governor Sheffner?
Yes, and the statewide administration building. And the UAJ dorm, he has indicated publicly he is approving, but it has not shown up.
Yes.
It's air and oversight that brought this attention after we arrived. But again, you will find that community colleges are essentially, subject to some debate, essentially a creation of the legislature over all these years. And the needs were proven and accepted by the university subsequent often to the legislative insistence.
I remember, this goes back a long way, back to my day when former Senator Begich, Mr. Killa, proposed for the community colleges, if you recall.
That's right. Well, they opposed times the community college really almost right out of the main campus.
Mr. Do you have anything further, Mr. Okasir?
No, that was all I missed.
Senator Paul Fisher has entered the room, and Senator Jan Fakes, who is not a member of the committee, has been here as a guest of the committee. Any senator have any questions, Mr. Okasir?
I do want to make one more bit of testimony, because I think it should be stated. The University of Alaska had the Hatch Morrill Act Fund. It's a land-grant institution. And its responsibility to the upland renewable resource development has never really been met. Indeed, it had other priorities that had to be met because it didn't have funding in times past. But there's a new reawakening of the, and a new interest statewide to do the land distribution, not only in agriculture, but in forestry and other upland renewable resources. And in fact, it's time that this institution had another look at it and contributed to it. Necessity, I believe.
Forestry, I think this might add, is getting, we're getting a lot of requests, and we're tying some into our proposal on the forestry. In fact, we're looking at our campus to set aside a certain amount of land that can be used for forestry and soil. Senator's right, there's a much more renewed interest in that.
Thank you very much, Al. If there are no other questions, appreciate your coming.
Thank you.
Representative Baska. Good afternoon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. For the record, I'm Representative Baska for District 25 from Bethel. And what I would like to do, basically, Mr. Chairman, is encourage the committee to consider the other community colleges that are not presently mentioned in the bill specifically. And I speak specifically of Kuskokwim Community College, which does not have a dormitory facility and in recent years has gone to the point of renting a hotel in Bethel for housing students. It's my experience that the housing facility that was used and is not presently being used was very inadequate for students and creating an atmosphere for students in Bethel. In recent years, the community college has grown considerably, considering the interest from within the community of Bethel, but not just from within the community of Bethel, but from students from the villages. Senator Kutula is correct in saying that many of these villages now have four-year high school programs and would very much like to continue their higher education in Bethel rather than going directly from any one of the villages to either Anchorage, Fairbanks, or any of the larger campuses in the larger communities in the state or out of the state. The community college, as most of you know, offers a variety of courses not found anywhere else in the world sometimes, and attracts quite a number of students, not just from Bethel, but also from the villages. I think that the present program that the administration, the Kuskokwim administration has put together is heading in the right direction. And it's very encouraging to see the number of students going through the community college. And through the summer and fall, many of the students in the villages and in Bethel, and many of the students presently attending Kuskokwim, have expressed a need for a dormitory to me. And last year in the bond package, $1.9 million was included to build a facility to house almost 50 students per year. At the present time, Kuskokwim and the university are putting together specific numbers, around $2 million, I think a little bit over, to build a facility, either a straight dormitory or a module housing unit for students. And I think those advantages can probably be explained better once they come out and the construction costs for that facility are brought out. Mr. Chairman, again, I would just like to encourage the committee to consider the housing project, the student housing project in Bethel for the community college.
Is there a dollar figure?
Well, Mr. Chairman, the last figure I saw was $2.2 million. However, there are more specific numbers coming out that the community college and the, I guess it's the student housing division will be addressing specifically. And unfortunately, in the university's budget, I don't see it as a priority, but those who write the budget are not necessarily from Bethel, so.
Are there any questions of Mr. Baskett? Thank you, Tony.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Bickford, are you here to testify on behalf of Senator? You're here representing Senator Petty John. And Sterling Gallagher of John Nuveen and Company. Former Commissioner of Revenue.
Thanks. I'm Sterling Gallagher. I'm the Vice President of John Nuveen. I'd just like to talk a little bit about revenue bonds to give you my perspectives about revenue bonds for student housing. Student housing definitely fits the education exception in the Internal Revenue Code for tax-exempt financing. So depending on who issues the bonds, there would be no problem in establishing that dormitories or those sort of things would definitely meet tax-exempt financing. Number two, the cash flow characteristics of student housing is such that it's not likely that over $15,000 per student could be adequately covered by the cash flow characteristics. That amounts to maybe $1,500 to $2,000 per student. That's just for debt service. Then you got the operating costs, the buildings, and all sorts of things like that. So you get anywhere above that number, and you get you start creating other opportunities. The students will rather go to, let's say, live in an apartment downtown. So if you can adequately amortize student dormitories with revenue bonds, you're going to have to keep that debt service down. Now, the amenity, I've seen plans by the university as high as $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 per student. If you're going to do that, you're going to have to put in a lot of cash up front, because the revenue bonds on its face probably won't support over $15,000 per student. So you really got to get a tight fit between, you know, the design that you want and the audience you're trying to serve. Number three, over the last year, I've looked at the indentures of both ASHA and the university, and to the extent the indentures in the university, when they have bonds outstanding, has a stronger cash flow characteristic. The current bonds I'm thinking about are the student union bonds that are outstanding. Their debt service is currently covered 2.75. ASH's cash flow comes off the state lease building program. It's basically about $600,000 a year, but it, that over half their net worth is dedicated to expanding or doing something in connection with state buildings. This wouldn't meet that definition. So there is only a very small part of their net worth could be used to help in this area. So
I'm not sure I understand your third point, but let me go back to the second point. As I understand it, there will be proposals to construct some student housing, particularly in Anchorage, by bonding. And if I understand what you're saying, you seem to be expressing some doubt as to the viability of a
bond. I'm not expressing doubt. All I'm saying is if all the bonds can support is probably $15,000 per capita or per student resident. Okay, if you're going to come in with a design for 45, the state's going to have to put cash in there for that difference. Yes, we can use it, but if you start getting up at 30,000 per student, the debt service, let's say you sell bonds for 10%, that's $3,000 per student per year. Then you go adding on top of that all the other parts that are like heating and electricity, and pretty soon you're getting up to $350, $400 a month the student has to start paying for $500, and just you're wiped out then.
Well, in the Juneau situation,
I'm just saying that if you're going to build a $40,000 per student, you can probably put in $25,000 in cash.
Yeah. I don't know if Juneau is looking at $13 million to create 200 accommodation.
That's 60,000.
Yeah. So if we wanted something comparable for the Anchorage area, by your testimony, some mix of bond and cash would be...
Yes, it would be necessary.
Okay. Senator Vic Fisher.
Mr. Chairman, I've over the past week or so been talking with various people about the bonding approach and the possibility of using ASH. I was talking earlier with Mr. Gallagher about it. ASH seems willing and ready to move ahead if the legislature instructs them to go ahead and then to negotiate with the University of Alaska. In terms of their cash flow, I defer to Sterling, of course, and their ability to do it. I assume that if a viable package can be put together that's sort of consistent within itself, they would be able to issue bonds regardless of other cash flows.
Either one can issue, either one. It's just where the security is going to come from is the university. I mean, the university could basically lease the facilities, and then the university stands by to make all the lease payments. Yes, that can work, provided that, you know, we believe the university is strong enough and they dedicated some money to cover it. So yes, you can go both ways. It just depends on contractual relationships.
Anyway, Mr. Chairman, it seems to me that it's certainly worth pursuing the possibility of revenue bonding. And one possibility might be to take the money that the governor is willing to put into the Juneau campus and throw it into the pot to subsidize all the facilities so that you don't have 100% appropriated facility in one place and attempt to 100% bond someplace else. Which would mean that you would right off the bat reduce the bonded indebtedness per unit. An additional factor that may affect the cost of units, of course, is the potential ability of the different campuses to provide land and utility access to the housing, which might reduce the cost per unit. And I've discussed this with Senator Petula, and he is very receptive to any alternate approaches to his particular bill in terms of committee substitutes or whatever can be worked out. And I, for one, Mr. Chairman, would urge that we work with Sterling, with the university, and with Asher, and see what kind of package can be headed on this.
Okay, thank you. Now, given Senator Fisher's comments, would you go over this third point you made concerning the cash position, cash requirements?
The university, let me first describe ASHA. ASHA has about a $10 million, $12 million net worth, on which they earn about $1.2 million a year. Over half that income comes to them from the state lease building program. And that money, under the terms of the indenture, stay with the authority to enhance the state lease building program. They have another additional $4 or $5 million in debt worth that has arisen over time due to the management of low income housing and a few things like that. Just earning interest off cash flows. That $6 million is not dedicated, or 4 to 6, isn't dedicated to any purpose, but is eligible to be used for the corporate authorities or the corporate purposes of ASHA. Yes, that money could be used in this area, but it's only maybe half to a third of what they have. Now the university, on the other hand, has some bonds outstanding that have a good coverage ratio. That is the student union bonds. They are currently, we built the student union building in Anchorage with them. There is about $4 million in bonds or debt services, a little bit over $400,000 a year. And I believe the university is generating $1 million a year of coverage or total cash flow. They got $600,000 extra. To the extent that you move students in there, you will enhance that cash flow characteristic. It is already strong. So what I'm saying to you, the university already has on their books a system that is generating sufficient cash flow to cover some student union sort of activities, if the student union activities can be expanded to include student housing.
Any
is that
other,
clear?
Yeah, I think so. Any other questions of Mr. Gallagher?
Mr. Chairman, Sterling, what would it take for us to work over the next few days to be able to put a package together that could go into legislation that we could negotiate with the governor and all parties so that we can come to some kind of closure on this?
I need a strong idea of the exact type a facility and the cost you want to spend for it. With that in mind, I mean, an engineer who can say it can be done with that for that price.
Could we take the approach that we would say that our goal is to provide so many units of housing in Juneau, Fairbanks, and Anchorage. We want to provide the minimum possible in direct appropriation, maximum possible in revenue bonds. Would that be enough for you to...
I'm not an engineer, nor my firm is,
but you personally.
If you direct, let's say, ASHA to come back to you a plan, they have architects and engineers, and I assume the university does too. Whoever you direct, we could come back to you with some sort of plan.
And how long would it take, let's say,
we got you and Asha and the university to work on the joint.
My calculator works fast, but I don't know how fast engineers do. I mean, they gotta go look at the site, I mean, it's...
Well, let me just back up a second. I think these are excellent suggestions, but Senate Bill 19 apparently contemplated direct appropriations of $30 million for the Fairbanks and Anchorage campuses. And there would be the $13 million for the Juneau campus under the recent Sheffield Amendment to his proposal. Are you indicating, Senator Fisher, that you would prefer to perhaps supplant SB 19 with its cash approach with the flip a bond approach? Or are you concerned that SB 19 would be disapproved by the governor and so we would have to come up with options?
My concern is that we might end up appropriating money for Juneau and getting nothing in Fairbanks and nothing in Anchorage because the bonding alone may not be sufficient to provide the facilities in Anchorage and Fairbanks at a reasonable cost. Whereas if we put them all in a package, we might make all three of them feasible. Maybe we'd have to throw in a little bit more money through appropriation, but we might then have housing that would be feasible on each of the campuses. The governor has expressed an interest in this approach, so I think that it would be worth dealing with this. The bill might have, Senate Bill 19, might make the appropriation, and maybe same authorship could come forth with a parallel bondage package. In fact, we don't need a bill to authorize bonds.
Yes, you do. I would recommend you do.
I would like to suggest that you, Senator Fisher, become a subcommittee on this matter. With the proviso that I would like to, the only thing I might take exception to is the idea of putting in the least amount of dollars to make it work, because I think in the long run, we're interested in keeping the student costs down also. So I think it's a question of negotiation with the administration as to how much cash they're willing to put in that we can supplement, and then your notion of using that cash on all campuses is a way that the legislature can assure equitable treatment of them on the campuses.
I'd be glad to work with these parties. Right.
And could we maybe hear from you next week? Engineering.
I can certainly give you a progress report.
All right.
Next week. Yes.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mr. Wildermuth, did you wish to appear before the committee?
My name is Mark Wildermuth. I'm a student senator at the University of Alaska, Anchorage. And I'm here to provide justification for the need for housing at the Anchorage campus. We all know that housing is critical throughout the state, and there is clearly a need for housing at the Anchorage campus. The housing loan program of the state has led to increase in housing construction. However, this increase has not come in the form of rental units. In fact, many rental units have been converted for sale, decreasing the amount of rental units in the community. This leads to great pressure on anyone who cannot qualify for the program and who are on fixed income, such as students. Last year, housing rentals have increased anywhere from 20% to 50% in Anchorage. Mine personally has increased 45%. That increase has led me to use one half of my student loan on housing, where before it was a third. There have been studies, and I have provided these to the members of the committee. And in 1972, the study reported for housing in Anchorage that 500 units should be built for both campuses. It also reported that housing led to increased cost of education through increased rentals, increased transportation costs, and increased time going to school because of time spent working to offset these costs. There is a study that was made in 1981. This is the most current study I could find from the university administration. This study concluded that if all pre-registered students who currently rent were in campus housing, units for 621 students would be needed. If housing were only available for pre-registered freshmen and sophomores and potential high school graduates from Alaska that would attend UAA, units for 450 students would be needed. At this point, it is important to note that these figures do not include currently enrolled Bush students who would need housing at the University of Alaska, students who attend ACC campus, and additional enrollment at the UAA campus that would be induced by the availability of increased housing.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. Any questions? Senator Paul Fisher?
The study that you referred to, the projections, were they including housing also that were being developed in various communities?
Which study is this?
The one you referred to, that if the additional housing needs 600 something.
That is a copy, and I don't think it included. I think it was isolated case of the university. It was done by the subcommittee on housing for the university. Let's see. Long-range planning subcommittee for student housing.
Okay, so then you would include then not that if we were to build additional housing facilities in Fairbanks and here, those ones maybe less of some.
Well, from those studies, those are only conducted for the University of Alaska Anchorage campus. Now, I would conclude that the overall amount of space needed would increase because there is nothing to do with ACC, and they have 10,000 students currently enrolled there. The 1972 study projected for 1980 that there would be 13,000 students attending both campuses and a need for 1,400 students for housing. Now that is very accurate, surprisingly accurate for the 1972 study from my views. Now, another study hasn't been taken to see the overall effect, but from my views, there is that many students there, and I feel that there is a need for that many units. It's like we're catching up from the time that this was overlooked. A recommendation to build housing in 1972 was overlooked, and it's catching up with the Anchorage campus now. Especially where this rental housing situation is existing now.
Any other questions of Mr. Wildermuth? No, well, thank you for coming down, Mark. Appreciate your... Thank you. Mr. Stoltzfus was here representing Senator Moss, is that right?
Yes.
Okay. Is there anyone else who wishes to testify on either SB 18 or SB 19? Now we'll close that hearing. Now, with regard to SB 19, without objection, the matter will be referred to Senator Vic Fisher as a subcommittee to come back with a proposal for a cash and revenue bond mix involving several campuses. What's the committee's pleasure on Senate Bill 18?
I would appreciate
appreciate a clarification of what is contemplated under Section 3. There was some talk earlier specifying what that would be for. I'm not sure. Okay.
And then the other matter there is again whether we would want to report Senate Bill 18 and its present with its present figures or modify them. As I understand it, Wendy, what Senator Petula may have had in mind was that he was looking at this in three components: the Anchorage campus, the Fairbanks campus, and then the rural campuses.
Yes, and I think he indicated the projects that are included in the UA request budget for community colleges total up to about $16 million. In addition to that, he was addressing a specific request for Matsu Community College, which is higher than the request, which would push that total up to around $19 million. I'm not sure either what the intent is and how to distribute this $15 million to cover $19 million worth of projects.
But by his testimony, the $20 million would be about $1 million short. That's my understanding. The 9.9 and the 11 million would be 20.9. He said 21, but I think it would be 20.9.
On 19 then.
Pardon?
You're over on 19 now for the UAA dorm?
No, am I confused?
Yeah, the 9.9 million for land acquisition would be under section 1.
Okay.
Of 19, and that should be, you were correct, it should be $20,900,000 to pick up the two items that he had indicated he wanted.
I see, all right.
Excuse me, Senator Josephson, the UAA classroom laboratory office building that's been approved in the governor's request is 25.3.
Yeah, okay. Why would that, perhaps, you know, why would the figure be 20 million instead of the 25.3?
25.3, he suggested that
be increased.
Plus the 9.9.
Well, the 9.9, though, comes in on the other.
On the other.
All right, so. We, you mean the breakdown on section 3?
The breakdown that he suggested.
Okay. Then as far as the chair is concerned, we'll hold 18 until we have the breakdown from Senator Petula's office on section 3, and I would entertain at some point a motion to change the figure in section 1 to cover the actual costs of the UAA classroom laboratory office building of 25.3. as well as any other amendments senators may have. Senator Fisher?
Yes, I have some concern about Section 3. I think Senator Petula said that this would include also Prince William Sound.
Yes, he did.
And I don't know if this is an appropriate time or not, but I would like to pass this out so the committee would have some idea as to the situation at Prince William Sound Community College, which Senator Fisher indicated came up time after time, I guess, but it never seems to quite make funding. And I think the point, we have people coming and testifying about student housing, and here's a college that has no laboratory facilities at all. This college is really lacking of classrooms. And I would hopefully, somewhere along the line, Section 3, that the maker of the bill would kind of add $7.5 million, at least for us to look at, in terms of the Prince William Sound Community College. For those that have seen it, it looks like base housing, and that's their college. Another thing that everybody's on the giving or asking, yet the city of Valdez is one area that gives $500,000 a year for the operation of the school. And it's a very strong community-oriented program. The only problem is they can't offer the program that should be offered in a community college level. They can, for example, even offer introduction to chemistry physics. Because the high school cannot share the facilities under the existing arrangement unless the high school teacher teaches a course for the college. So it's a true thing, but that's the way it works out. So I think there's a real need, not for housing here, but just for the basic Canuck classrooms. And I would wish the committee would give some consideration to including that at this time, before we act on Section 3.
All right. Senator Fisher, when Section 3 comes back and we have the list, you'll be recognized to make such changes. But if you're not satisfied that Prince William is adequately treated, you'll make such amendments.
I noticed there was a handout from Representative Vasca on dormitory complexes. Is there any indication of pleasure of committee members as to trying to include that in the dormitory package? Do you want an attempt made to see, check the economic feasibility?
Yeah, Senator Vic Fisher is asking for guidance because he needs to know how much to be looking for, correct, Senator?
Yeah, I'd be glad. I mean, we can try it. Try it out for size. Wendy says yes, so I guess we've got to do it.
All right. Objection to that? Not. Please research that as part of the committee. Is there anything else to come before the committee?
I have a question. How many community colleges are there?
Wendy?
Ten.
How many have housing?
Ten. If I may pursue this, Mr. Chairman. Wendy, how many others are there like the Kuskokwim Community College that actually serve a major region of the state?
Well, they all have very large service areas, each one of the community colleges. But Kuskokwim is unique in that they draw, the majority of their students are drawing in from villages that come into Bethel to live. Nome has, draws some students in from villages. The other ones serve primarily road access students. So those are the only two that are like them.
What about Kuskokwim? Does that exist?
Yes, but it's primarily, the community right now. As they expand their health care programs, they may also be coming back.
Is there anything in Barrow?
No. The University of Alaska is not providing anything there right now. Through rural education program, we do some course delivery, but no major program.
The borough has had a program now.
Pardon?
The borough has had a program, the North Slope borough. Now, in Bethel, it wasn't there, when the regional high school program was changed, did that leave any excess dormitory space?
Apparently, there was some. We did operate some housing facilities, some, not really dorm facilities, but there were some facilities that were given over to students to utilize, but the facilities deteriorated so badly that they were no longer able to use them.
Was that managed by the school district?
I'm not sure.
That's a question that may be related or won't be, you'll get an answer. In the case of Prince William Sound, if somebody were to demand that the city go in and do an inspection of the code, and their facility would totally fail, what position would that be? I would suspect that there was a strict adherence, whether whoever were in the state or the city, I got to be honest, it's unqualified. What would happen? Would we just drop the university until the matters taken up or don't you? Well, I'm just curious, because nobody has demanded that at this point. But if they do, I'm a little concerned.
I would suspect that we would need to usher requirements as quickly as possible. Mm-hmm. Not shut down the program, we'd certainly try to find other options.
Senator Chase?
Senator Justice and Senator Fisher and the Anchorage Community College, there is just that case where three buildings on campus have been condemned by the fire marshal and they have been given a deadline in order to vacate those buildings or be shut down. And they're working on a two-year extension now, and I see the governor has chosen not to fund those that particular administration building. And a lot of extra things have been done to those buildings to make them people safe, but they are literally rat traps.
Well, if there's no other business, without objection, we'll stand adjourned.